Hi everyone, thank you for coming to my presentation today. My name is Colin Middleton. I am a terrestrial ecologist with Golder Associates Limited in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. My talk today takes us to the relatively colder climates of northeastern Alberta, to the Athabasca oil sands region, specifically a research study site on the Suncor oil sands project, which has been open pit mining of oil sands resource since the 1960s. Reclamation is of high interest to Suncor and its stakeholders, and there's a regulatory framework in Alberta that requires Suncor to reclaim lands to boreal ecosystems of equivalent land capability to pre-disturbance conditions. So as a bit of a background, peat mineral mix is a soil that results from the overstripping of wetland, bog, and fen peat deposits into the underlying mineral substrate. It accounts for the largest proportion of reclamation soil in the oil sands region. About 50% of the total land surface of northeastern Alberta is wetland and organic soils, so in the US that'd be your histosols. These peat deposits can be anywhere from about 0.5 meters to more than 6 meters in some places. When the soil is salvaged, its fate is usually the medium textured landforms of overburden dumps or the sandy, well-drained tailings pond dikes. So in 1992, this slope of a tailings pond was reclaimed, and there were three different sources of peat mineral mix that were applied to the slope. In the western portion, soil from a peatland deposit that contained about a 30 centimeter marl layer beneath it was incorporated into the peat mineral mix and applied to the slope. And in the central portion, there was a peat mineral reclamation soil that originated from an upland forested site that probably initially supported jack pine and black spruce. And on the eastern portion, it was a peat mineral mix from a deep peatland deposit that was not reported to have a marl layer beneath it. For those of you that don't know, marl is a lacustrine sediment that is high in calcium carbonate as well as salts of sulfate, particularly gypsum and epsom. Right away, reclamation officers at Suncor noticed that the pine that was planted there was growing at different rates. Severely stunted growth was associated with the western part where the marl was incorporated into the peat mineral mix. Trees were growing relatively normally throughout this portion of the slope, and an intermediate zone was where corresponded to that last origin that I just mentioned. So in 2005, a Suncor asked Golder to figure out why this was happening. And so we selected a few different sites to focus our study that are outlined in red here, and these we are considered to be representative of each of these zones of soil application. So our research objective was to identify the soil physical and chemical properties inherent to the peat mineral mix that contributes to a reduced reclamation success of this site, which is targeted to subxeric acidic boreal terrestrial ecosystem. I just wanted to give you a few more stats on each of these zones. The good zone had a very low mortality after 13 growing seasons, and it had an average stem height of over 4.5 meters. Contrasting to the poor zone, which had almost 50% mortality, and after 13 full growing seasons, had an average stem height of still below 2 meters. And then the fair was this intermediate zone in between. So we collected samples at 9 sites within each of these zones, and we sampled and analyzed 3 depths plus the tailing sand directly below the reclamation soil for available nutrients, water-soluble cations, pH, electrical conductivity, and sodium absorption ratio. And at the rooting zone depth of 10 to 20 centimeters, we analyzed for lime equivalence, and at the surface soil, we analyzed for hydrophobicity. Further, soil moisture tubes were installed at each of these locations and recorded data every 2 weeks through the 2006 growing season. Now, some of you well-versed in experimental design and statistics may suspect that this site was pseudo-replicated. The reason why we chose such a high sampling density was that the soil that was placed in the slope had been salvaged, consolidated, stockpiled, and then replaced later on. So we were expecting to see a very highly heterogeneous mixture of soil on the slope. So we wanted to make sure we could account for the variation. So these graphs show the moisture profiles of the site for each zone we tested. And the red horizontal line on each shows the approximate reclamation soil depth of each zone. Based on these trends, we figured that moisture deficiency or excess hydrophobicity nor subsurface seepage of tailings water were contributing factors. And just to illustrate that quickly, I just wanted to point out the striking similarity between the soil moisture profile of where the trees are growing well and also where they're growing very poorly. The pH of the good zone here in yellow was significantly lower than that of the rest, and we attributed this to the origins of this particular reclamation soil, which again was an upland forested site, as well as increased needle litter fall because of the normally maturing lodgepole pine that were on the slope. The fair and good zones had salinity levels that were not limiting. However, there may be some mild salt stress on the pine in the poor zones. The soluble calcium in the poor zones, in the rooting zone depth, was almost 30 times that of the good zone. And as a proportion of the total soluble cations, it was over 80% in some cases. And in the good zone, that proportion was more like 55%, with fair somewhere in between. And just as an aside, of all the soil data, baseline soil data I've seen in this region for a boreal ecosystem that is supporting jack pine on a sandy site, we have numbers that are almost identical to this here in these proportions. The story is similar for available sulfate, with the fair and good zones having almost identical levels, and the poor zones highly variable and much higher. And as a proportion in the rooting zone, about 95% in the poor zone, and in the good and fair, approximately equal at 30%. So this table just shows the coefficients of determination done pairwise with each other, and I've sorted them in order, in descending order, how they correlate with stem height. And the red values indicate inverse relationships, and the blue-green values are positive relationships. Just a couple points here I wanted to highlight. The first is this strong correlation between stem height and calcium carbonate equivalence. The values that we're looking at here are about 10 to 15% lime equivalence in the poor zone, 2 to 5% in the fair zone, and less than 1% in the good zone. This also indicated to us the presence of that marl layer in the poor zone. And following similar lines, the electrical conductivity correlation between calcium carbonate electrical conductivity showed us that this marl layer has the calcium carbonate as well as high soluble soluble cations. And the strong correlation between electrical conductivity and calcium was interesting to us because typically when in the boreal region, if you have salinity, it's usually driven by sodium. And in this case, sodium was virtually non-existent. So the salinity in the poor zone that I mentioned earlier may be having some salt stress. This is driven by calcium, which is unusual. And finally, just the correlation between calcium and sulfate S. This indicated us the presence of gypsum, which kind of confirmed the testimony of the reclamation officers that there was marl underneath that peat deposit. So not all peatlands in the oil sands region contain marl. It's uncertain exactly how many do, but certainly where marl was present in the peat mineral mix of the poor zone, the high levels of lime, gypsum, soluble calcium and sulfates may be skewing the distribution of results, skewing the distribution of nutrients. And we think that calcium and sulfate are overloading the soil root interface, as well as contributing to a high buffering capacity of the soil, preventing it from acidifying over time and getting to our objective of an acidic boreal terrestrial ecosystem. At these pHs of about 7.1 to 7.3, which I showed in the previous slides, phosphorus is fixed by calcium, and the high availability of calcium in the soil solution helps keep phosphorus from being available to the plant. Now, peat soil is usually acidic when it's saturated and in its in-situ state, but when the humic acids are in the bog water are drained away on the tailings pond slope, the peat is actually near neutral to slightly alkaline if you were to retest it. And as the decomposition accelerates due to it now being in aerobic conditions instead of anaerobic conditions, calcium and sulfate are quickly released in the soil matrix through the denatrium proteins and from the plant material decomposition. So the reclamation soils across the entire slope are actually considered remarkably similar when we evaluate them using our generic land capability for forestry and reclamation suitability ratings for soil we use in Alberta. This study is a case where the criteria failed to predict the successive reclamation that proponents are required to achieve. And to achieve successful reclamation, a few options must be considered. The first is restripping the surface and applying a reclamation soil that is suitable, which is a very high cost and effort and not a desirable solution. Secondly, implementing a fertilization program to help rebalance nutrients, again, very high cost and effort, and also a high uncertainty of whether or not that would actually work. Lastly, considering an alternative end reclamation objective over the time scale required for reclamation, which is about 50 to 100 years in Alberta Environment's approvals. This change in objective may mean planting species that are more tolerant to a higher pH environment, such as aspen, white spruce, or even considering parklands or grasslands. Such a change in objective must be compensated for at the project-wide reclamation plan, which includes considerations for ecosystem diversity, wildlife habitat, and traditional land use. And it is very important to note here that the good zone demonstrates that successful reclamation to acidic pine ecosystems is possible with minimal but appropriate peat mineral soil application. And finally, we recommend that basic salinity analysis be done to identify marl sediments and to reconsider overstripping where it is observed. And now I just wanted to thank the co-authors of this study, in particular Suncor Energy and Golder Associates Limited, for providing me the opportunity to speak to you today. And of course, thank you for your ears. Thanks. The question was, did we do foliar analysis to... Yeah, that is actually an area that we would like to do in further research. We didn't do it as part of this because we kind of came in blind and weren't really sure what we were looking at. But definitely that's critical in really confirming what would be happening. And what we would be looking for is not necessarily just excesses in calcium and sulfate, but also widespread deficiencies in other nutrients. Sorry, can you repeat?
Magnesium.
Oh.
Bring magnesium high.
Yeah.
And the plant will overcome the gypsum effect.
Okay. For, I mean, I know, I'm not sure I heard the question. There's some background noise there, but.
What calcium does? Mm-hmm. You have very high level of calcium. Mm-hmm. Magnesium uptake becomes a big problem for the plant.
Okay.
First of all, you don't have magnesium in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
Plus,
yeah, absolutely. So yeah.
You've got to improve the magnesium calcium magnesium ratio in the soil,
mm-hmm.
to overcome the effect the plant is suffering.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, magnesium is right in chlorophyll, and it's the most important thing for photosynthesis in that regard. So if we have such high calcium levels that are really overloading other cations, then that's absolutely something that we need to check for.